Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning, including our choir, who decided to be fashionably late today. Hey, but it happens. It's a great day to be in God's house. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike just to jot down your information. We'd just like to get a record of your attendance. Also, after you finish jotting that information, if you could pass them back to the center of the aisle, they'll be picked up later on today. If I draw your attention to our church bulletin, there are several announcements listed in there. We'll not mention all of those. Invite you to take those and read them at your convenience. Jeff did want me to mention there is children's time this morning following the first hymn. If all the children would come down front, he will be excited to meet you down here for children's time following that first hymn. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we're well on our way to reaching our goal. Our goal is $17,500. The candles are no longer behind us. However, each candle represents $2,500, which doesn't matter since they're not up there. But today we have collected $16,251. And so we're, what'd you say, Bob, about $1,300 off roughly. So we're well on our way. Hopefully we'll reach that by today. Miss Mary wanted me to announce for all grace notes, that's our senior adult ladies choir, that there will be no grace notes this Tuesday. That is in your bulletin. She just wanted me to remind you of that. Also, with the new year, the church office will be closed this Monday. Next Sunday, we will have communion, January the 7th. Following the next Sunday, January the 14th, we'll have deacon ordination as well as installation. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle, and if you're a guest with us for the first time, we just want to give you a little bit of information about us. We want to thank you for worshiping with us. Inside the packet of information, when they pass you by, if you would just slip up your hand, inside there's a letter from our pastor telling you a little bit more about us, and also a church newsletter, which we call our highlights, and in there is all the activities going on for the month, and we just want to let you know about things going on here in the life of College Park, and would love to have you come and be a part of us and of the worship times that we share together. It's a great day to be in God's house. Like I said, let's join in worship as our choir calls us to worship. I invite you to join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. I will read the light print, invite you to join me in the dark print. All glory to you, great God, for the gift of your Son, light and darkness and hope of the world, whom you sent to save us. With singing angels, let us praise your name and tell the church story. That we'll believe, rejoice, and bow down. Acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Join me in prayer, please. Father, today we gather corporately to worship you. We celebrate the gift that you gave us, the first Christmas and every Christmas after. Father, thank you for that gift. Even though we didn't deserve it, you loved us and gave it to us anyways. Father, and that is why we worship. Because how much you love us, how great you are. This morning, Father, let us sing praises to your name. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Yeah, can you hear me now? It's good to see everybody this morning. I was going to have you guys help me. Can you tell there's something wrong with me this morning? It's normal. I know something is wrong with me that's different. What's wrong with me? I lost my voice. Do you like? I can barely. It hurts to talk. So can you do a good job of listening this morning? All right. So I got to thinking. Santa brought me sickness for Christmas. That tells you if I was a good boy or a bad boy. But this week, I really haven't had a voice. And it got me thinking about something. Can you think something? What if I knew the good news about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, but I didn't have a voice to tell anybody? What would I do? It's good news, right? Christmas is the best news ever. But what if I didn't have a voice to tell them? How would I tell them? You could write a note. That's a good idea. I thought, well, let me put it this way. Matthew got a great new toy this week. I love playing with this toy. It's a new racetrack, and you can do cool stuff with it. It's race cars, and you can shoot the other cars and make them go off the track. It's so much fun. But wouldn't it be more fun if I brought you over to the house and you got to play it than me just tell you about it? What would be more fun? Play it or just hear about it?
Play it.
That's right. Do it. So it would be better if I showed you how to play the game. The same thing is true about Christmas. We need to show people how much God loves them. But how do you do that? You be patient. You be kind. You be loving. That's how we show people. We don't need to just talk about it, what Jesus did, but we need to show it. So when we have a toy, we need to be able to share it. When our brother or sister does something that's not so nice, we need to forgive. It's all about doing things, not just talking about it. It's harder to do things, right, than it is to just talk about it. So this Christmas, let's just don't talk about Jesus coming, but let's show people by how we act. That's why Jesus came, to change how we act. Be kind, be loving, be patient. That's what Christmas is about. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you just didn't talk about how much you love us. You showed us by the gift of your Son. He was patient, he was kind, he was loving, he was forgiving. Help us to be those things too. In Jesus' name we pray.
Ministry of God's Word this morning comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. That is located on page 825 in your pew Bible. And then we'll be jumping forward to Isaiah 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his sons into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And then jumping back to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 through Isaiah 62, verse 3. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bridegroom adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout comes up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise sprang up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will be bestowed. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Lord, help us in this moment and in coming moments to recognize you. Lord, to see you each moment in the people and in the world around us. Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, to follow your lead. Lord, to bring you our hearts and our gifts. For you are the Christ. And you are worthy of all that we have to give. Lord, help us to hold nothing back from you, but to give ourselves fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don, I figured out what it is, buddy. No Christmas trees. No Christmas trees. When I walked to the back, Don and I were talking about the fact that it seemed like it's just a little bit not quite as bright in here, to the point where I walked all the way up here and checked the rheostats, and I mean, everything's wide open. I mean, it's all we got, but I mean, there's a couple of bulbs out, but other than that, I mean, it's everything that we've got, but we got so used to the white light of those Christmas trees. It was glorious, wasn't it? And now they're gone. They're gone. They went to hide back down in the dungeon where Christmas trees go to hide. Actually, I asked the decorating committee if they would remove them. Because as we came into the sanctuary today, there's no more Christmas decorations. When you came in the door, assuming you came in through the parking lot, the wreaths are still there, right? You saw those? Did you know? You didn't? They're still there. Notice on the way out. Okay? But other than that, it's all gone. All signs of Christmas are gone. And commercialism loves that. because they get to move on to the next holiday. I mean, we get to talk about New Year's Day and all the food, right? But you know, if you go into Walmart, which is ill-advised, but I did it anyway. If you go into Walmart, guess what they've got out? Candy, stuffed animals, yeah, jewelry, all of that good stuff. Flowers, Robert, you digging it? Where's Robert? Flowers, Robert says, yeah, flowers, flowers. You know, so the sensitivities of American people likely will move on beyond Christmas. My question then is, what difference does it make? Or what difference did it make? By it, I mean Christmas, the beautiful cantata, the wonderful service that we shared with the children on Christmas Day, Children's Day at Christmas. You know, the warm fellowship of last Sunday, Christmas Eve, in here at 11 o'clock, what we enjoyed here together. Last Sunday night, Christmas Eve service, candlelight, being with family, being with friends, the intimacy, the warmth of that service, very stirring. And all of that doesn't even account for the family and the friend time that each of us enjoyed away from this building. Christmas. So what difference did it make in us? All of that celebration and reflection and warm feeling, did it change how you fundamentally think and act? Will it have any lasting effect, or was it just another sweet holiday? Yeah. What about that first Christmas 2,000 years plus ago? Do you think it made any difference? Sure it did. Let's consider just a minute the individual lives, which we sang about in the hymn just a minute ago, interestingly enough. The individual lives, before we submit to the larger theological reality, let's look at it in a personal level. What about Joseph and Mary? Did that first Christmas make any difference in their lives? Oh, you bet it did. Oh, you bet it did. Apart from that whole "we're not married and you're pregnant" moment, apart from that, which absolutely rocked their world, the whole thing rocked their world. There was the social aspect, yes, there was. There was also the economic factors. There was also the logistical nightmare surrounding their journey to get to Bethlehem and the whole night of Jesus' birth. Then there was the flight to Egypt to save their son's life, and no doubt those awkward moments when they went to the temple and lost the Son of God. That's a parent's nightmare. It's bad enough, but it's like, we lost the Son. Are you kidding me? We lost the Son of God. Where is he? And we don't have all the recording of Jesus' childhood, but you know, though, there were those moments when Mary and Joseph both were like, oh my goodness. Awkward. How do we discipline the Son of God? I mean, we know we're supposed to, but no, it's your turn. No, You know, it literally rocked their world. Not to mention Mary standing and watching her son humiliated and put to death in the most excruciating, painful way that these sick human minds have ever come up with. You bet Christmas changed their lives. It made a difference. And what about the shepherds? We sang about them a minute ago too. Do you think it made a difference in their lives? It had to. It absolutely had to. They were the social outcast of their day. They were the ones that people didn't want to speak. Put them in the field. Leave them there. Don't let them come to town. We'll just throw you some food out there. So, I mean, they were the social outcast. And yet the first announcement outside of the immediate family of the coming of the Savior was to them. The social outcast. Just think what that must have done for their self-esteem. Maybe we're not nobodies. Maybe God does care about us.
One minute they're in the fields with the sheep, and the next minute they're in a stable with the good shepherd, the Son of God. Talk about changing. Talk about making a difference in your life. And after their visit, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, when they had seen him, they being the shepherds, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And hear this, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Seriously? Wait a minute. Seriously? The shepherds said something and people listened for a change? Maybe for the first time in their lives, they had a social, cultural, theological, earth-shaking message, and they were the one chosen to deliver it, and they did it. And people listened. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They would go down in history as the first evangelist. You bet it made a difference in their lives. Oh, boy. I'd like to have been in the fields when they got back there to see what they talked about and how. Oh, it made a difference. Now, what about the Magi? We talked about them briefly last week. The Magi, the wise men. But consider for a moment how they put their lives on hold to travel for months, no doubt, and to pay homage to the king, Jesus, not Herod. To pay homage to the king, Jesus. Which brings up an interesting insight about the Magi. We know from Scripture that they went first to Jerusalem to ask where the king of the Jews was. Now, that's a fair question. Fair question from them. It makes sense that they would go to Jerusalem. Why is that? All politics aside, Jerusalem had been, and biblically speaking, will always be the capital for God's chosen people. Go back and read about David setting it up and all of that. There was a historical precedent for it. That's why they went to Jerusalem to ask about the king of the Jews. It only made sense. So notice what the Magi did not do. They did not go and ask Herod. Now, and some people will tell you that. So they went to Herod, they asked him where the king of the Jews... No, they didn't either. They went to Jerusalem, but they did not go to Herod. Why did they not go to Herod? Because they're magi. They're smart. They were educated and bright men. They did not go to... It was Herod who called them to his palace so he could find out the biblical details, the prophetic details about this king of the Jews. Yeah, I'd like to have been there when they came out of that meeting. Caspar looks at Melchior and goes, do I have stupid written across my forehead? Do I have stupid written here? Because you see, they understood, they got it. They understood, no matter what Herod said in their little meeting, kings do not ask where other kings are being born so that they can go and worship them. No. Kings do not like competition. If they're going to see another king, they're going to... Yeah, Barbie said in the 9 o'clock, eliminate. That sounds a whole lot better than what I had written here. Okay, they're going to eliminate. They're going to eliminate the competition. And these magi, because they were bright men, they understood that. They got that. So when they get in a dream, when they get in a dream that they should not go back to Herod, trust me, that wasn't the first time that thought had occurred to them. But I think God gave them that dream so that they would know, they would have the reassurance of knowing that God was going to take care of them even if they disobeyed Herod's request. That was assurance. That was reassurance from God. I've got you. What you're thinking is right. Don't go there. Go this other way. Go this other way. Did it make a difference? Oh, you bet it did. You bet it did. It was life-changing. For everyone directly involved and everyone who claims that since that day. We could talk about the innkeeper. You know, he gets a bum rap, but he probably did him a favor. We could talk about the whole town of Bethlehem. We could talk about all of that, but I think you get my point. You know, for everyone that came that first Christmas, everyone Everyone, from a theological and personal perspective, it completely changed the course and it changed the condition of humanity. And it completely changed our relationship with our Creator God. Completely changed. But the problem is, we've moved on to Valentine's Day. So how do we allow Christmas to make a difference? Every day, not just today, not just last Monday, but every day. How do we allow it to make a difference in our lives? I'll give you the same answer that I give for a lot of questions. The answer is this: live in God's presence and in God's Word daily. Live in His presence, invite His presence, welcome His presence in your life, and live in His Word daily, allowing both the Spirit of God and the Word of God to shape you to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we celebrate Christmas every day. Jeff hit right on it. People should be able to look at us. We shouldn't have to tell them anything. They should be able to watch and observe our lives and know that there's something different about us. Welcome the presence of God. Live in that presence. Welcome the reading of God's Word. And so let me give you a few practical suggestions on how we do it. And I've already given away point number one, and that is read His Word. You say, well, I'd like some tools. It'd be nice to have, rather know kind of how to start and all of that. There are a lot of reading plans out there. Several years ago, we had an emphasis on reading through the Bible in a year. You may remember that if you were with us. But the point is, find something that works for you. There's several tools out there. Let me give you a couple of suggestions. There's one called the One-Year Bible for New Believers. It's also available in the One-Year Bible. Not necessarily for new believers. The reason I like this version is because there's some devotional things that are attached which help you in your growth. Whether you're a young Christian or a mature Christian, they're really kind of helpful devotional things. It's the entire Bible translated in the New Living Translation, 365 daily readings, and it's got some devotional notes attached to it. It's a good tool, but you know how tools are. You can't throw a rake out into the yard and come back an hour later and your leaves are all raked. Okay, if you got a tool, you got to pick it up and use it. Okay, so it's a good tool. It's an opportunity for you to read God's Word systematically. Interestingly enough, I have some of these on the front pew. It'll cost you $20, $19.99 in the store. If you want to grab one here, they're $10. Just put your money in the envelope that's there. Take one home. Begin first thing tomorrow. And have an opportunity to read through God's Word. Okay, they're available in leather bound as well if you go to the stores, if that's something that you'd like to carry with you, maybe a little more durable than a paper cover. But have a plan. There's another tool that I like. I can't let you have this one because this is the only copy I've got. It's called the Daily Bible. It's a little bit different. It's 365 daily readings, but it takes, as best as theologians are able to do so, and we know the limitations there, but they take God's Word and put it in chronological order. And so you start with Genesis 1:1, and then it reads and it interjects the prophets where they belong in all of this, as best as we know from all the data that we have. And it takes you chronologically all the way through the Bible in 365 days. Kind of a neat twist. If you've done some of the other readings type thing through the years and you want a little bit different, you can get it on Amazon. There's other places that have it, but it's called the Daily Bible. I recommend it. But whatever your plan is, find something that works for you. Not in a legalistic sense of, oh gosh, I got to read Bible today. But in a sense of, I want to hear what God says through His Word to me today. What does it say to me? People ask me about devotional guides. Yeah, they're good. Certainly, but they are not a replacement for Scripture. They're a good supplement, but they're not a replacement for Scripture. Read God's Word. The second suggestion I would say is fellowship. Fellowship. We were created for community with one another. Okay? Can we agree on that? We were created for community. And when we're not here, you miss it, don't you? I do. When I'm not with you on Sunday, I miss that. I miss that. We were created for fellowship. draw your strength, draw your encouragement, encourage others, strengthen others. It works both ways. Read, fellowship, and third, I would say, be a shepherd. Be a shepherd. Declare the good news of Christmas. Declare the good news of what a difference Christmas makes in our lives. As believers, what a difference it makes in our lives. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being here together, to hear your word, to hear the opportunities that you give us to grow and to know you better, Father, and to love each other more. God, we pray that as we come together week after week, that it would not be something that's seen as just something we got to do or just a habit, Father, but it's a joy, it's a privilege to worship together. Father, it's also a joy and a privilege to worship privately, reading your word, seeing what you have for us for each day. Father, give us that hunger to know you better and to be more like your Son. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Christmas was for you too. Christmas was for you too. It was to help you understand how much God loved you, that he sent his only Son to help us to make that connection with God. To help us make that connection. So if you're not a believer, I'll be here in just a moment when we stand and sing. I'll be glad to talk with you about that, how you can know Christ personally. If you are a believer and you say, man, I really haven't been striving for Christ-likeness, I think that is our challenge this year, to be more like Christ so that others do know Christ through our lives. So you can certainly recommit your life right where you're standing, where you're singing. If you want to come down here, the altar will be open. I'll be glad to speak with you, whatever your desire is there. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this fellowship, I highly recommend it. It is incredibly important in your development to walk with other believers. There's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. But whatever your desire is, I invite you to make that decision as we stand and sing together now. I invite you, once we've had our benediction and choral response, to greet one another, encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to know you more fully. Father, we pray that you would challenge us through your Spirit each day to love people and to love you more and more. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.